Let's continue reading verses 24 through 43 of Matthew chapter 13. Now here we have three more parables of our Lord: the parable of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the leaven. Matthew chapter 13, beginning now at verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Another parable he put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches.' Another parable he spoke to them, 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till it was all leaven.' All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.' Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Once again, a few background notes. In Matthew chapter 13, there are seven kingdom parables. They are given to reveal the form of the kingdom between the two advents of Christ. They reveal the kingdom of heaven in its present form. The present form of the kingdom has come about because Israel rejected the king and his kingdom. The nation of Israel rejected the king and his kingdom. During this present time, Israel has been set aside from the position of God's favor while the gospel goes out to the Gentile world. Read Romans 11 in this connection. Now, all of this may possibly be dramatized in the actions of our Lord in this chapter. Look back at verses 1 and 2. "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him." The Lord, having been rejected by Israel's leaders in Matthew chapter 12, left the house, that is the house of Israel, and was sitting by the sea, that is the sea of Gentile nations, and great multitudes gathered to him. There may be a spiritual picture or dramatization here of our Lord's ministry. Look now at verse 36. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him." Perhaps this too is part of the spiritual picture or dramatization. The house of Israel being restored to the position of God's favor in the future, with the disciples representing the godly remnant of Jews who will receive the king and his kingdom when our Lord returns. So there may be a spiritual picture here. We find in Scripture many times, not only do the miracles of our Lord have meaning, certainly the parables have meaning, but even the miracles many times have meaning, and even the actions of our Lord many times are dramatizations of his very teaching. Now, we'll look at the parable of the wheat and the tares under our doctrinal points, but let's look at the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven while we're still here in our background notes. In both of these parables, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, the kingdom of heaven is seen as growing and spreading from something small into something large. A key to understanding these two parables, as well as the parable of the wheat and the tares, is to remember that the kingdom of heaven is not the same as the true church. The kingdom in its present form certainly includes the true church, which consists of all true believers in our Lord Jesus. But the sphere of the kingdom is much larger than just true believers. The sphere of the kingdom includes false professors as well, as the parable of the wheat and the tares clearly indicates. The kingdom in its present form is the realm of Christendom, which includes the true and the false. Christianity has certainly grown from its small beginnings in Palestine 2,000 years ago, but it no longer has its pristine purity. The birds of the air nest in the branches of the mustard tree. The birds in this parable represent the agents of Satan, just as they do in the parable of the sower. Think of the cults, for example, nesting in the branches of Christendom. The cults flatly deny the full deity of Christ, and yet they sneak under the umbrella of Christianity. Also in the parable of the leaven, we have the idea of evil, specifically evil doctrine, spreading and permeating the pure meal. The pure meal here, we believe, represents the good food for God's people found in the true teachings of the Bible. Some Christians interpret the leaven here to be the gospel, being preached and spreading in accordance with the Great Commission until the world is evangelized. So that's a possibility. But leaven, you see, leaven throughout the Bible is always a type of evil. Under the law, God commanded his people to get rid of leaven out of their homes. Exodus chapter 12. The Lord Jesus warned against the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. Matthew 16. And Galatians 5 verse 9 likens false teaching to leaven. So we believe the birds in the mustard tree and the leaven in the meal represent the evil and the false teaching that is within Christendom today, that is within the present form of the kingdom on earth today. Now this becomes more clear in the parable of the wheat and the tares. And that brings us to our two doctrinal points, which are taken from this parable, the parable of the wheat and the tares. So doctrinal point number one, the wheat and the tares may appear the same now. The wheat and the tares may appear the same now. Once again, we don't have to wonder about the meaning of this parable because the Lord gave the interpretation as he did with the parable of the sower. We see from verses 37 through 39 that the one who sows the good seed in this parable is the Lord himself. The field is the world, and the good seed are believers. The enemy is Satan, and the tares are unbelievers. What are tares anyway? Essentially, they are weeds, probably darnel in this case. Before harvest time, wheat and tares can appear very much the same. Can't tell the difference. Do you see the meaning in the parable? If you looked at an audience of people, and they all claimed to be Christians, would you be able to tell who were the true believers and who were the false professors just by looking? No, you wouldn't. And that's the point of the parable. There are both true believers and professing believers in the kingdom of heaven or Christendom today. The wheat and the tares may appear the same now. Doctrinal point number two. The wheat and the tares will be separated later. The wheat and the tares will be separated later. Later in the parable, later is the harvest time when the Lord returns at the end of the age. At that time, the wheat and the tares will be separated. The false profession of unbelievers will be exposed, and they will be removed by the holy angels and taken away for judgment. Their ultimate destiny is hell, where there will be eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 42, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. True believers will be rewarded and shine forth in the glorious kingdom of our Lord here on this earth. Verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What a great time that will be. Then Christ will reign as king over this whole earth, and true believers will reign with him. What a difference in the destinies of the wheat and the tares. Is it possible that you're here this morning as a tare? You may look like a Christian. You may talk like a Christian. You may pose as a Christian, but in reality, you've never committed your life to Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Why not invite the Lord into your life today and become a true believer and part of the wheat harvest? The wheat and the tares may look the same now, but the wheat and the tares will be separated later. Practical application. Don't misuse the parable of the wheat and the tares for church discipline. Don't misuse the parable of the wheat and the tares for church discipline. In verse 28, the servants said, "Do you want us then to go and gather up the tares?" The Lord of the harvest responded in verses 29 and 30, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest time." Now let me ask you a question. Think it through now. Does this mean that church leaders should be more tolerant and not discipline sin in the church today? They should just wait until the final judgment. Doesn't the parable say wait until the harvest? What's the answer here? No, it doesn't mean that. Remember, this is a parable of the kingdom of heaven, not a parable of the church. 1 Corinthians 5, for example, clearly indicates that church leaders must exercise church discipline today. Read the epistle of 1 Timothy in this connection as well. So don't misuse the parable of the wheat and the tares for church discipline.